Welcome to our examination of the scripture readings for the fourth week of Advent. We begin today in the Old Testament with a reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, 8 to 12, 14, and 16. At this time, please take out your Bibles and read those passages. The two books of the prophet Samuel deal with 100 years of Jewish history. Samuel serves as the link between the time the land was governed by judges and then ruled by the kings. The first book deals with the interactions of Samuel and Saul, the first king of Israel, with book two covering Samuel and King David. It is not a continuous history, but rather a series of events that revealed God's plan for humankind. The passage opens today with David settled securely in place, having defeated those who sought to unseat him. The Ark of the Covenant, the most holy of all things Jewish, had been kept in symbolic exile in Kiriath Jearim, at the bottom of the hills leading to Jerusalem. David wishes to bring the Ark to the holy city, symbolizing God dwelling with his people. It is first placed in a tent in the city, but David wishes to add a temple, which he sees as more fitting for such a revered object. Verse 2 is the first mention of the prophet Nathan, the first court prophet that spoke for God to an earthly king. At first, Nathan agrees with David's plan, but that same night, the Lord speaks to Nathan to ask David, "Why are you doing this? I never asked for a home from you. I prefer wandering amongst my people so they know that I am with them." In God's grand plan, David was to make sure the new nation was secure, to establish the house of David from which the Messiah would arrive. The building of the temple would be the responsibility of David's heir, Solomon. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. The longest epistle or letter in the New Testament was written by Paul to the Christians living in Rome to prepare for his arrival there. As a side note, the epistles were placed in Scripture not according to alphabetical or chronological order, but according to length. The passage from Romans today is from the final paragraph of the letter, which is known as a doxology, a prayer to end a prayer. We should be familiar with this concept, as each time we participate in a liturgy, after the Eucharistic prayer, it ends with what is called the Great Doxology. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. The Gospel for the fourth week of Advent comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Luke, the Gentile physician, is writing to fellow Gentiles about Jesus and the message of salvation. Many non-Jews were hearing, learning, and wanting to follow the teachings of this man who gave meaning to their lives. Luke's purpose in writing this gospel and his follow-up work, the Acts of the Apostles, was to explain that Jesus came to gather all humankind, the Israelites, all the nations of the world, and especially the lonely. After appearing in the book of Daniel as a messenger from God, the angel Gabriel, whose name means "God is my strength," again appears with another message, this time to a young virgin in Nazareth, betrothed to a man, Joseph. The betrothal period we may consider an engagement period, but is actually much more binding, taken so serious that it can only be broken by divorce. Verse 28 contains two significant points that we often miss. Hail, or Ave, was meant to signify that I bring you great joy. And this is the only time in the Bible when someone is not addressed by their personal name, but by a title, full of grace, indicating the presence of God that has been in her life and will continue now in a new and holy manner. In verse 32, the angel declares that her son, who is to be named Jesus, will be known as the Son of the Most High, with the words Most High being a common expression in the Gospel of Luke for God, and God will give him the throne of David, his father. We recall that in our first reading today, the prophet Nathan declares to King David that the Messiah will come from his house. Joseph's legal fatherhood is equivalent to natural fatherhood in matters of inheritance. And as Joseph is of the house of David, the prophecy will now be fulfilled through Jesus. Mary's questioning in verse 34, "How can this be?" is not done in disbelief as Zechariah's was when the angel Gabriel told him of Elizabeth's upcoming pregnancy with John the Baptist. Instead, Mary's questioning of how this is going to happen is a move from faith to understanding. After hearing from Gabriel that nothing is impossible for God, with Mary's fiat, "Be it done," she embraces the acceptance of her role freely and actively. What a perfect role model Mary provides for us on the true meaning of discipleship. This is Deacon Mike thanking you for joining us for the past several weeks as we examined the readings of Scripture for the weeks of Advent. And I remind you to not only hear the Word, study the Word, but more importantly, to live the Word.